been in the theme of the idea of, do we just like Jesus, or do we want to be like Jesus? Do we just like Jesus, or do we want to be like Jesus? Now, today, we're going to specifically be talking about being like Jesus when we don't like it. Being like Jesus when we don't like it. Now, some may take offense to that very notion. I mean, that imitating Jesus would ever require us to do something we wouldn't like to do. Somewhere along the line, the self-serving concept has slipped into the church that our Lord never wants us to doing anything that would make us uncomfortable. If we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to need to break out of our comfort zones. I mean, think about it. What in his call to pick up our cross and follow him indicates any different with him? You get the impression that's a call to be comfortable? That's a call just to come and do what you like doing? Sorry, no. At times we're going to need to do some things we don't like to do. Or to be like him, we'll need to change our priorities. Forsaking some of the stuff we like, sometimes for things we dislike, maybe even for things we would normally, in our flesh, hate doing, avoid doing at all costs. I, for one, love spending time with my physical family. I love spending time with my friends. I love spending time with my church family. That's not only natural to love to do that, I believe it's necessary. I believe Jesus calls us to love spending time with our family, to love being with our friends, to love being with church family. I believe he calls us to. There's this indication, though it's not a verse that says this, the concept in Scripture is that, yeah, charity begins at home. We need to love our families. We need to love our church family. And this all the world. Love everybody, even our enemies. Yet Jesus cautioned us not to open our hearts and homes only, see, to those we love spending time with. And only to those that, you know, we really get something from in return, those who can repay us. Matter of fact, in Luke 14, verse 13 to 14, he says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. When you give a banquet, he says, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed. He goes on to say, although they cannot repay you, you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Interesting. Those people that we love spending time with, he says, don't invite them. But those people who we think we're going to enjoy spending time with, you know, and we're going to have some benefit from, he says, don't invite them. What? What, Jesus? No, invite those who you might not normally spend time with, that you might not normally be drawn to. See, Jesus not only taught this, he practiced it. Now, he may not have ever thrown a banquet per se, but you know the scripture, the story, certainly the gospels, Jesus fed thousands of people on one occasion who hadn't the means to pay back, to reciprocate, to return the favor. He also often served the poor, the outcast, the downtrodden, the people again that otherwise were being ignored. So we'll need to move, sometimes out of our comfort zones. Move out of our community in new ways. We need to open our arms wider, to extend love and hospitality to people who may not have otherwise experienced it, and who, without the call of Jesus on our hearts, may not experience it still. Having said this, Jesus also instructs his followers not to waste time on those who have the doors of their hearts closed to him. Luke 9, verse 5, he said, if people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. Now he was speaking to his disciples as he set out, what we often call them, the mission. He told them to go out and do some wonderful things as they shared the kingdom of God. And they did it with power. As they did that, he said, if people don't welcome you, if they're not receptive, if they're not open to the message, then he says, shake the dust off your feet when you leave. The idea is that you will leave. Now maybe you get that concept, or at least think you do. But the best way that I've found to understand what Jesus means is to look at how he lives out the principles. When did he ever do what he told them to do? When did he ever do what he calls for us to do? We're reading through John chapter 6 or 9. We see that Jesus once refused to feed the crowds because he perceived that all they cared about was their selfish appetites. He fed them before, they come to be fed again. But that was the only reason they came. They weren't necessarily interested in what he had to say. They weren't interested in what he wanted to lead them. Only wanted to be fed. And he said, no. No. Shortly thereafter, some folks tried to pressure Jesus into leading them the way that they themselves wanted to be led. Now, this may surprise you, but there are people who say, yes, Jesus, I'll follow you as long as it's the way I want to go. I'm glad they follow you as long as it doesn't cause me any discomfort. As long as it's not in some place or some area or some region, you know, or into some service that would cause me to be less than having a good time. But we're going to do that. But he slipped away from it to be by himself. Only for a little while, because he began preaching then in Capernaum. Though none has ever been a greater servant than our Lord Jesus, he would not be used or manipulated by anyone, especially if it hindered him from his calling. When the Jews grumbled against him, even plotting to do him harm, he left with his followers to minister in Galilee. Later, some teachers of the law, offended by Jesus' claim to be the I Am, and who gathered stones to kill him because of that, well, when they did that, he slipped away. Slipped away from them again. It was then a very short time after that, he approaches a man in the outer court to heal him from a lifetime of blindness. So, you see, Jesus often left the skeptics to teach those who are more open and ready to be taught. He often did that. He was an example of doing it. Did he physically shake the dust? No, symbolic. But he said, no, I'm going here. Leaving you to go here. The more we become like him, the more we'll know it's time to reach out beyond our familiar surroundings. Even perhaps walking away from those who only want to engage in fruitless debates or senseless arguments, or aren't willing to listen at all. When I can tell you from personal experience, that can be a heart-wrenching thing to do. I've too often thought that, you know, with people that I care about, people who are close to me, people that are maybe physically related to me, or people that I've had relationships with, that I've often thought, you know, well, if I can just have one more conversation with them. If I can just use the right approach this time, certainly I'll break through. But so many times I've found that still to no avail. And it's hard to admit that we could be wasting our time. valuable, precious time that needs to be devoted to more fruitful, fertile use. Make me a very part of it. Now, that doesn't mean that I quit praying for them or stop looking for and hoping for opportunities to share faith. But it did mean so many times that I had to direct my energies elsewhere. Sometimes it was just outside the temple courts. Just outside that I find someone who was open to the Word of God. Someone who was lingering close, but I was overlooking. That I wasn't focused on. I didn't have my sights set on. Because I was so focused on the few that I care about. Sometimes it was halfway around the world. The bottom line is that when I discovered my life is to be like Jesus often means going to unfamiliar places and interacting with people that I don't know, that are not like me. It often requires in leaving comfort zones to be a comfort to others. It requires service and sacrifice. Like, to be honest, sometimes I didn't like because it was difficult and it was taxing and it was hard to come to grips with. You might want to talk about it. You ever sense that? Feel that? That Jesus may be prompting you to speak to someone. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe it's at your workplace. Maybe it's at your school. Maybe it is someone in your family, but they're on the fringes, that you have avoided talking to because, you know, for whatever reason, you feel just be uncomfortable. Then you continue to preach to the choir. Or you continue to try to share with the same people day in and day out, who aren't receptive. Why do you keep doing that? Well, sometimes it's easier. Sometimes it's just easier than stepping outside of those boundaries of our familiarity. This evening, we'll be leading a chapel service. At the Rescue Mission. And as we're going to be serving a meager meal to those who are gathered, I'm trusting there's going to be people there who are open to hear the good news about Jesus. I know that it's out of the comfort zone of many believers to interact with people who may not be as clean, or as tidy, or as well groomed, as those they're generally rubbing elbows with. But it's exactly the kind of people Jesus is calling us to minister to. I appreciate it. I know some of you today already have brought in lunches that you've prepared, meals you've prepared, and I was hearing the refrigerators overflow, you know, with the things that they were already. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for being willing again to prepare those meals for people. But can I urge you, if there's any way possible, to personally come join us? Don't merely send the meal, be there in person. May I urge you to think about that? And if you can, encourage those with your presence. See, that's so vitally important. As you praise and worship God with us, as you have opportunity, greet each person graciously. Smile warmly. Bless them with kind words, expressions of kindness. Should you have an opportunity to say, bottom line, show them Jesus. Show them Jesus. The next Saturday, as I mentioned, Lord willing, and I believe it is, a small team of cavaliers will be heading for Haiti for this short-term mission. We're believing that we'll be able to share Jesus with Haitian children. It's been called a vacation Bible school, but I don't think it's going to be much of a vacation. In a way, we'll thank you that for them or us. But that vacation Bible school setting, if we can, then we're going to be teaching children the gospel. We're going to be teaching children from the scripture. We're going to be more than just sharing words with them, we're going to be sharing lives with them. I mean, we can send materials. Just send materials. And that would be a good thing for somebody else to share, hopefully, or a distributor pass out. But you know what? There's nothing more valuable and precious in the transfer of the gospel than the gospel in somebody. You know, that's the vehicle, that's the vessel that God chose from the beginning. He didn't say, you know, mail out tracts. He didn't say, you know, send them a letter. He said, go, right? Go tell. Go share. Why that's so important? Something about that personal involvement and relationship. When people can not only hear the message, they can see that somebody has accepted the message, is excited about the message, that they're excited about Christ in their life. And they can share, again, how God is working in their lives and transforming them and strengthening them and helping them. It goes so far beyond, doesn't it? Something on printed page. That's it. Christ in us. So forth. I'm also believing to see that parents of the children, grandparents, will stick around to hear a message about God's plan to save all who trust in His Son. Now, the accommodations, I've not been there before. I've talked to those who've gone, you know, looked online a bit, this investigation. And it sounds to me like they're not going to be ideal. Not going to be like sleeping in our own bed in our air-conditioned home. Not quite like that. The food's not going to be what we're used to eating. I heard we might have some goat. And Nina said, I'm not eating goat. I said, if goat's put in front of you, we'll eat a little bit. I can taste it. But the food won't be what we're used to. It's going to be hot. I mean, the last couple of days it's been hot and muggy, right? Especially after the rain last night. And we finally didn't flip on the air of our house yesterday. So I'm putting it on. It's going to be hot and muggy and not always the opportunity to even get into shape, let alone in any air conditioning or having fans. It's going to be very uncomfortable. The water, I hear, isn't safe to drink. And the conditions are far from sanitary. We've been cautioned, you know, about not eating any of the fruit or veggies, even if they've washed it, because it'll be washed in the water that's not sanitary. So don't eat it. Pack a few things that you can. Make sure that you want to drink a bottle of water that's not been opened. All of those conditions about, you know, health because of the conditions. Team members have had malaria, typhoid, Hep C, and tetanus immunizations. But what we need is Lord's protection in providence. So that's why we come here, prayers and concerns. But with all of that, where are we even going? Again, why go? Bottom line, as Jesus calls us to, we go as calling on our heart, particularly. To go. We believe that. But He calls us all to go into the world. And that begins right outside the very doors of the church, doesn't it? Going in. The Lord calls us to do that. And you know, when I think about Jesus and the example that he left and being like him, have you ever heard of a greater missionary who would leave the comfort and glory of heaven to come to this mission field, full of disease and sickness and sin, depravity, come into this world waiting came for us. So bottom line is, we all need the Lord's help when it comes to imitating Jesus. Especially when it comes to following his lead in areas of service where we just as soon not go. I've shared this with some of you, but not specifically this wording, but this is true. I recall having once said that I'd rather take a beating than preach. Now, I didn't have to take a beating to get me in pulpit. Well, at least not physically. But what eventually happens, I considered what a beating my Lord suffered. Save me from eternal separation. He endured the cross for me. Surely I can endure whatever he asks me to do. Surely I can. And surely you can too. Again, he didn't call us to a life of relaxation. I know he said, come, be all you weary, heavy laden, I'll give you rest for your souls. But he calls in service, surrender, and sacrifice. He calls us to go into a world where again, people aren't like us. People we don't know, people we might not normally even speak to, he calls us to speak to them. Not just about the weather, but about God's love for them in Jesus Christ. So again, we ask you to pray for us, and I ask you to participate with us as much as you can here.